This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York. Have a great show, boys.
Thanks, Aaron, and give me six lotto numbers with the way you're picking games. It's a great job. Larry Hardesty, Ty Butler on the Michael K. Show, 1-800-919-3776. Anthony Pusick and Jacob Perry along for the ride. Ty, this is it. This is such a big football Friday. We have not 1 hour, not 2 hours. Not 3 hours, not even four. We have 4.5 hours of sports talk on a big football Friday. For the local teams, Ty, I'd have to go back to try to figure out when's the last time a weekend involving both local football teams had so much meaning over the past decade. I can't think of one. I can't. Maybe decade and a half.
Maybe you go back to Christmas Eve in 2011, when the Jets and Giants actually, ironically enough, had big games against each other. And it was the Victor Cruz 99-yard special. Both teams were vying for playoff spots and needed to win out. The Jets lost that game and missed the playoffs. The Giants won the game, won the next week, and then went on to win the Super Bowl. So that's how long you have to go back. 11 whole years. So it's just crazy for us to be in this situation. But I'm excited. Good time for both fan bases. The Giants are in a little bit of a better position because they play the Colts, and all they need is a win and get in situation. But, you know, to have both of these teams alive and well and contending for a playoff spot, you could not have asked for more to start the season.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. And both fan bases have to feel good today. Giants, as you mentioned, winning, you're in. You handle your own business. You have a weakened Colts team. You're better than they are. You're better defensively. You're better offensively. You're better special teams. You're a better team. And you're home. All you have to do is just win the game. Very simple. Don't back in. Don't need any help. You have it in your own hands. Go out there and take care of business on Sunday. Good for you. The Jets, as you mentioned, have a little more issues. They need some help. But if you're a Jet fan, you've got the quarterback you want. You wanted Mike White. You got Mike White. Now, I don't know how long you're going to have Mike White, okay? Because with the offensive line, I know that his ribs are not 1,000%. His ribs are not 100%. His ribs may be just enough to be cleared. That's all they have to be. So his ribs, Ty, are minimally healthy for you to go out there. So I don't know how long you're going to have him. But you've got the guy. So if you're a Jet fan, you have to feel pretty good about the fact that you're confident that this guy, you worry about whether he's, you don't care about franchise quarterback. You don't care about what's going on with Zach Wilson. You don't care about footwork. You don't care about what they're doing with Zach Wilson. The only thing you care about this Sunday is to find a way to beat Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks at starting about 4:05, 4:15, whatever the time the game is, in Seattle. That's all you're worried about.
Yes, that's all you're worried about. So the only thing is, and everyone is, I guess, in unison from the Jet fan base, excited about Mike White's return, and I'm also in agreement with that. But once we get past that initial excitement, because I don't know if it's more about Mike White love or if it's you know, you love that Zach Wilson isn't starting. But once we get past that, we have to understand and recognize that this is a situation Mike White has literally never been in before. It is two playoff games, essentially, because you have to beat the Seahawks, you have to beat the Dolphins, so it's must-win situations the rest of the year, and Mike White has never been in this, you know, in this type of circumstance, and now he's going to do it, you know, physically compromised. So yes, he gives you the best chance to win, and I'm optimistic about it because the defense has played so well, and I think overall it's a good team, but we have to remember, You know, we don't know really what to expect from Mike White because he doesn't have a resume of performing big in huge games. So this is the first time he's going to be asked to do something like this. We just hope that, you know, the defense can continue to play well. And like you said a couple of days ago, Larry, it starts with the running game. I think you got to establish the pass first to open up the run game. But however it happens, whatever comes first, the chicken or the egg, at some point this rushing attack has to resurface.
All right, so Ty, I know you're a Jet fan, so I want you to take your Jet fan hat off for a second.
Okay.
For as a journalist, okay, which is the better story on Sunday? Is it Mike White comes in, busted ribs, misses two games, marches into Seattle and beats the Jets and beats Seattle and marches the Jets on to a showdown week down against Miami? Or is it Geno Smith, the former outcast Jet quarterback, who's had an amazing rebounding year, knocks his team out of the postseason? Journalistically now, not fan, journalistically now. Which is the better story?
The more salacious story would be, I don't know if I would qualify it as better. I think the more salacious story in, you know, every newspaper in New York would have fun with Geno Smith, you know, punching the Jets in the jaw, right? Because that's what it is. For him to come back and knock this team out of the playoffs, you know, after what happened and how, you know, his tenure didn't end well in New York, for him to, in the biggest game this team has played in 7 years, to, you know, four touchdowns and add a rushing touchdown on the ground. I think that would be the sexier story. It would be more salacious. And by the way, it would just be same old Jets, because this is a game that, you know, the Seahawks did start the year well and Geno started the season well, but they've lost, what, five of their last six games? So It's not like they're coming in red hot. And that only win that they had in this six-game stretch was against a woeful Rams team that would be picking seventh in the draft if they had their own pick this year, which they don't. So if Geno knocks the Jets out of the playoffs this weekend, that's just going to be so devastating. I can't even process that right now, Larry. Like, that's cruel. That is too cruel.
But it's very Jets-like, right?
Yeah. We're just hoping that it's not same old Jets.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I really don't. I don't think so. I think this defense will force Geno into making some mistakes, because ultimately that's what hurt him. He could make the throws. He did a pretty decent job, I think, in recognizing and reading defenses. He used his legs. He had some issues protecting the ball. Like I said, turnovers were a thing with him. But you look at several games he had with this team, and I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, so hold on before you start calling me. I'm not saying he was a great quarterback, but I am saying that he showed you some potential before he got injured, and then the whole IK incident, and then he was gone.
Same old Jets.
You know, but the question here is, for me, and I agree with you about the run and the offense, but for me, the question is, how does this defense show up? Is this the Jet defense, Ty, that comes in pressuring the quarterback, stopping the run, making Seattle one-dimensional, and forcing turnovers? Because that's really the defense that we've seen. That's the Jet defense that's given them, that's put them in the position where they had to make a decision about sitting down their number two overall pick at quarterback because of the way they have performed.
Yeah, so I started thinking about this before the show, having to sit Zach Wilson. How many quarterbacks in the NFL do you think could have been placed under center for this Jets team and they would safely be in the playoffs? Because as you alluded to, that defense, number four in scoring and number three in total yards per game, their only struggle really has been that they don't get a bunch of takeaways. It's a bend but don't break defense. Yeah. They've got just 16 takeaways on the season, and that's seventh worst mark in all of football. But with how tremendous they've been, and then the running game when it was going pretty well, you go all throughout the NFL. I mean, how many quarterbacks could you have put under center for this team and they'd already be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And it came to mind, I think the only four that just jumped out at me right now who are actual starters: Davis Mills, Russell Wilson, Colt McCoy, I guess Tracy McSorley, you were throwing there with Arizona, and then maybe Mac Jones. But those are the only four I could think of. So we're talking about most of the league, you could have had their quarterback on the center for the Jets, and they would have been a playoff team. So that's just how frustrating it is to be in this situation, knowing that you earn better if you're that defense.
And to be honest, Ty, Mac Jones might be a lateral move. I mean, because you've lost to him twice. So he might have been, you know, with the weapons you have here, he might be a guy that would do better here than he's done in New England. You know?
Yeah,
so
he stinks. He stinks.
There's no question he does. but he might be more capable as far as hitting open receivers than the guy who, and remember now, not just benched, deactivated.
That's embarrassing, Larry.
Not just benched.
You think about Joe Douglas. Remember before the season, the conversation about Joe Douglas was his future is dependent upon growing and elevating Zach Wilson to become the franchise quarterback, because whenever we get the answer on Zach Wilson, that will tell us the fate of Joe Douglas. So for that same GM, Joe Douglas, to be on board with in the biggest game of his tenure so far, not just benching Zach, but deactivating him, that just tells you where they are as far as this quarterback is concerned. They don't have belief in him. So any Jet fan before the season would love for it to have been Zach taking them to the playoffs or getting them on the doorstep of the playoffs. But once you see how the season progressed, there was no way you were going to be able to turn to him in the biggest game of the year, and I think he's done. So Mike White, I just wondered the other day, like, is it that we're in love with Mike White, or do we just love that he's not Zach Wilson?
Yeah, you love that he's not Zach Wilson. You love the confidence that even if you lose, he gives you a better chance at winning than Zach Wilson, who's been deactivated not once but twice, okay, in the same season, a couple of weeks apart, and would not have been reactivated had White not gotten hurt. So he wasn't going to play anymore. I know Robert Saleh's talking about he'll play. He wasn't going to play unless the Jets were out of the postseason run. Then he would have put him in to see what he could do, see if he learned anything with all the work that he's, you know, getting on the side. But he wasn't going to play. It's clear. There was no way he was playing anymore this season if Mike White didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I would agree with that, which tells you where this organization is with him. But now that we look ahead to this game.
Yes.
It sounds crazy to say this because the Jets are on a four-game losing streak for a reason. They've scored four touchdowns in their last four games. They're currently under 500. But bias aside, and maybe I'll get called, just someone who is just, you know, superly optimistic just because I'm a Jet fan. I'm a homer. This just feels like a game they should win. I'm sorry. I think they're a better team than the Seahawks, who have come in, again, losers of five of their last six games. I just think they're simply a better team all around. And Vegas believes that as well. The Jets are favored to win this game. So they should be able to get this one done.
They're favored to win because Mike White is the quarterback.
Yeah, they were underdogs before that announcement. They were underdogs.
That tells you all you need to know. It does. It's the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Larry Hardesty, Ty Butler in for the guys. Let's go back to the Giants-Colts, Ty, before we take some phone calls. Because I don't want to jinx the Giants, but Ty, I don't see how they lose this game.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see. I can't think of any scenario where the Giants lose this game because Indianapolis is that bad. They can't figure out who their starting quarterback is. The defense is okay, but they don't score. Yeah. So, you know, if they don't score, the Giants should be able to put points on the board. We know that they can run. We know Barkley can run. We know Daniel Jones can run. And under this offense, you see that, you know, you got some young receivers who are making some plays, keeping the drives going. You got a great field goal kicker in Gano who can kick deep. I mean, and you're home. Your defense is better than their offense. I don't see how they lose this game. I really don't. I don't see how they lose it.
Yeah, this I cannot envision a scenario where they lose this game. The Colts are dreadful. And I made the argument the other day that under Jeff Saturday, like since he became their head coach, this is probably the worst team in football. At least the Texans almost beat the Cowboys, almost beat the Chiefs, and then won last week.
Yeah.
The Colts won that game against the Raiders and have lost five straight, and that includes getting 54 hung on them by the Cowboys. They lost a 33-0 lead at halftime to the Vikings. They went 0-4 on third down in the entire game last week against the Chargers and scored 0 second-half points. They just can't keep up with the Giants. And I understand, like everyone says, well, the Giants aren't that talented. It's all coaching. The Giants are winning games, yes, because of coaching, but also because of the stellar play of Saquon Barkley. And Daniel Jones has been pretty good. So I think the combination of what Barkley is going to do and Daniel Jones having a really good game, this is not even in doubt to me. I think the Giants win pretty easily. The line is only 5.5 because they win close games.
Right.
And they lose close games. But I think this is one of those where, you know, third quarter all the way through, you're feeling pretty good about it. And how about this, Larry? Think about this. The Giants winning this weekend means they clinch a playoff berth, mm-hmm. and now they have nothing to play for in Week 18. If before the season I told you the Giants would have nothing to play for in Week 18, you'd be like, yeah, because they're locked into the draft, and maybe you want to lose this game to get a better draft pick. But they'd be locked into a playoff spot with nothing to play for in Week 18 because their head coach is so tremendous that he found a way to get this team to the playoffs, which is just unbelievable.
It is. It really is. Here's the if I had to look for something, Ty, if I had to look for something, the only concern I might have is what you mentioned previously, is that they play close games, which means that if you're Indy, the Giants kind of let you hang around. You know what I mean? They kind of let you be within a touchdown, maybe a touchdown in the field goal, maybe 7 to 10 points away. They don't blow you away. They kind of let you hang around. So that would be the only concern I would have.
But how about this,
because then
Larry,
you get into a scenario where you're like in Washington, right? And you're leading, and then all of a sudden they make a drive down late, and you end up going into overtime, and you end up, you know, getting a tie out of that scenario.
But how about this? So even if that exact scenario unfolds on Sunday, where the Giants allow the Colts to hang around late, here's a stat that I found just absolutely crazy. Under Jeff Saturday, the Colts have been outscored, check this out, 90-9 in fourth quarters.
Holy
they are
crap.
Getting blown out in fourth quarters. So even if they find a way to keep this competitive, the history just tells us that they're going to get blown out in the fourth quarter. And I think it favors the team at home with the best player on the field in Saquon, and the Giants will find a way to get it done. I don't think it's going to come down to that, but even if it does, they're still going to win this game because they have that going for them.
No question. They have the better team, and it's not even close. So there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I will say this, though, in Jeff Saturday's defense, that's a tough spot to be put in.
Yeah.
Middle of the season, leaving Bristol, parachuting in with a team that was struggling enough that they fired their coach. All right. And so you come in and, you know, do what you can, Jeff. Just we need a change. Just do what you can. Just do what you can. So I think that they put him in a tough spot, you know, and it's not really a great team. So I know, listen, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying that's a tough spot for you to be in with no head coaching experience. No
Zero.
Coordinator experience.
And who knows how his staff actually feels about him, because maybe there's a sense that they were passed up in favor of a guy who literally came in with no coaching experience. So, I mean, I'm sure that ruffled some feathers there as well.
Yeah, but they probably did. There's some guys there who were like probably, you know, lifetime coaches. This was my shot. This was my chance. But listen, you still have a chance because he's not going to be the head coach at the end of the season. Some of you are going to be walking into that office and doing some interviews because they're not going to bring him back. Now, he might. I don't know whether he'll come back to work with us. I don't know whether they'll keep him as an O-line coach or something of that nature where he could, you know, Ty, if he likes it, maybe he could gain some more experience, right? He's got the head coaching experience. Now get some O-line, some position coaching, maybe a coordinator, assistant coordinator spot, and then he's better prepared if that's what he wants to do. But usually, most players don't want to be coaches.
Well, at this rate, Larry, given Jim Irsay's history, you might be getting a phone call after week 18 asking if you want to interview for that job. So who knows? Keep your phone line on loud because Larry Hardesty has just been named the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Not Larry. Larry's not taking that job. Not at all.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tyler, let's go to the phones.
Let's
talk
do it.
Talk to the people. 1-800-919-3776. By the way, this gangrene report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Carmine's in Englewood, Florida. Carmine, you're up first on the Michael K. Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How we doing? Happy New Year.
Same to you, man.
Thanks. Ty, I think it's been awesome hearing you the past week or so, man. I knew I liked you when I heard you rip that Giants fan a new one for wanting to get rid of Daniel Jones for Jordan Love.
Oh, man, that was a terrible phone call.
Well, I wanted to get your opinion, being a big Jets fan like so many of us out here. What are your thoughts on – I'm going to ask the same question but phrase it a couple different ways. If Mike White goes out and leads us to the playoffs, how far of a run would he need to have for us to consider him as a next year quarterback? And if we don't consider him, do you guys like Derek Carr, or who are you thinking?
Well, I think Mike White, it's not just about him getting into the playoffs, and appreciate the call, Carmine. It's about how he performs, because it does feel different. Like, if the Jets go out there and win these next two games, you know, 14-7, and it's not on the strength of Mike White's arm, you still have room to say, yeah, we made the playoffs, but we absolutely need to upgrade. So I don't know if there's like a – well, if he gets to the AFC championship game, that guarantees that he's coming back next year. I think it comes down to, you know, what he does from an individual statistic standpoint that would make that the case for him stronger. But, Larry, I'm monitoring what's going on with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Looks like Derek Carr – his days are over in Vegas. Whether they're going to trade him, he's got a no trade clause, so he gets to choose. If they do trade him, he gets to choose his destination. If not, they'll have to release him cap hit. But Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, those are the three names I'm looking at.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers will come here?
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers doesn't feel like a New York City guy, right? Like, he feels more like he's small market, but one can dream.
Sure,
those
absolutely.
Are the three names that, in theory, could be available, and they're at the top of the board. I have no interest in Gardner Minshew. I've got zero interest in Jimmy Garoppolo. So if the question is, like, who would you love to have, I think it starts with those three names, and it would be Rodgers, Lamar, and Derek Carr in that order.
I mean, why can't you dream about Aaron Rodgers? You had Brett Favre.
Yeah, right. And they started 8-3 that year.
That's
before
right.
he got hurt.
That's right. He loved Dustin Keller. He used to talk about him. I love that guy at the tight end spot. I love Dustin Keller. He used to talk about Dustin Keller all the time. So, yeah, you can dream. You can dream. I tell you, that's an interesting question he asked you because, Ty, you could say that there might not be any scenario where Mike White would come back to be your, quote, franchise quarterback, unquote, next year. Because I don't know that he is that. I don't know that his durability, because that's always a question with him, unless you say, okay, well, Larry, maybe if we shore up the offensive line, he won't be hurt. Maybe that's the issue. I don't know. But has he done enough with the opportunities he's had, even before he got here, has he done enough with the opportunities he's had for you to say, yeah, he's in the mix for coming back next year? Even if he, let's say this time, let's put it this way. Even if he threw for, because he's thrown for, look, he had a phenomenal game against Chicago. He had a very good game against Minnesota, okay? But I think you got to see what he does in that red zone, man. That's the part. Because numbers between the 20s, yeah, you can do some things. You could scheme up some things. It's what is he able to do in the red zone to make sure that you get sevens and not threes?
Yeah, and also the question mark for him is becoming the injury. Can he stay on the field? So last year we saw him get hurt. This year he's been hurt again. What they say, the best ability is availability, and
he
hasn't been as available as the Jets have needed him to be. And you could argue that had he started these last two games, Jets would be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So for Mike White, it's about producing and staying on the field, staying healthy. So back to that caller's point, I don't know if there's a threshold he can reach that would say, well, the Jets got here, so that means you bring him back. We got to see him be able to stay healthy and put up numbers. Because if there is an upgrade to be had out there, I think the Jets, it is their due diligence to go out there and entertain it, especially if those names I mentioned become available.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone taking Mike White over Derek Carr?
No,
of course not.
No.
Anyone taking Mike White over Lamar Jackson?
No.
Anyone taking Mike White over Aaron Rodgers?
No, it
becomes interesting if the comparison is Jimmy Garoppolo and Gardner Minshew, then we can have a conversation. But if those three guys, any of those three guys become available, I'm sorry, I'm upgrading.
I don't know, but I don't think I think the fact that you have a LaFleur here offensively might cause a little problem with Aaron Rodgers.
his brother leaving his brother in Green Bay to come to New York.
Although the one thing for sure is he would be running the offense here.
But
Rodgers
see, that's
would be
the
running the offense here. There's no question about that.
And it was another point made. Well, I forget, it was a caller who made this point the other day. Well, if you bring in Lamar Jackson, you know, Mike LaFleur doesn't run that type of offense. I'm sorry, guys.
Listen, even
if he doesn't make the adjustment, like, who would I rather have? A former league MVP at quarterback, Lamar Jackson, or Mike LaFleur? I'm sorry. That answer is easily Lamar Jackson.
That's the Gang Green Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Listen, here's the thing. A quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, a quarterback even like Carr, they make your job as the offensive coordinator easier. They make your job because they can do things. Even you can say, here's the play call, but you know what? If you see something else, change it. You're not saying that with Zach Wilson. You might not even say that with Mike White, Ty, but you'll say it with those quarterbacks. You'll say it with those quarterbacks because they've proven themselves. They know how to handle things.
I would love for this defense to be blessed with an offense that can simply keep up because the Jets have been carried by their defense this year. So you get someone under center with the ability to command the offense, and we're not just looking at threes. It's gotten to the point, Larry, well, you brought up the red zone. Every time they get into the red zone, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, here's 3 points.
Yeah.
Because they're not scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
They're not scoring a touchdown. Can we change that narrative? And Mike White, look, let's not look past him because he does have an opportunity. This is an audition for him to throw his name into that hat. It starts this week.
It does.
And we can't use injury as the excuse because, look, if you're healthy enough to be out there, we can hold you accountable for the outcome of the game. And if he can go out there and perform, then maybe we have a different conversation. But it starts this week against the Seahawks.
Definitely does. 1-800-919-3776. Ira's in Staten Island. Ira, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, what's happening, Larry and Ty? It just, you know, it's amazing this whole week. We're fighting for our playoff lives, and this whole thing about the quarterback for next year comes into play. Once again, I'll get to the game real quick, but they cannot lose to Geno Smith because, you know, you talk about the spike game, the Gaston out game, the game up in Buffalo in 2015, 81 playoff game with the Bills. This would go above all of them if Geno knocks him out of the playoffs. But, you know, as for the quarterback, I look at it this way. Aaron Rodgers isn't coming to play for LaFleur's brother because he doesn't want to play for the other guy in Green Bay. All right. Lamar Jackson, even if it was a pipe dream, Mike LaFleur would never be able – he's not capable of building an offense to fit Jackson's skill set, all right? And at the end of the day, whether they make the playoffs or not, okay, I don't think the next year's quarterback's on the roster. And I think somebody's going to take the hit to Zach Wilson not being developed, whether he has the talent or not. And it's certainly not going to be Saleh, and it's certainly got to be Joe D. So chances are Mike LaFleur, playoffs or not, I don't think he's going to be back with the Jets next year.
That's a fair point, Ira. That's fair because, like, if you are someone who believed in Zach Wilson being talented enough that it warranted being taken 2 overall, then something went wrong somewhere. So that's got to fall on someone. And if you don't believe he ever had the talent, you know, he should have been taken there, then that's on the GM. So that's a great point. Someone's got to be held accountable for Zach Wilson.
That's right. And, you know, we'll see. I'm not calling. I hate to call for anybody's job, but chances are that'll be the change there. And, you know, as for the game, listen, it's real simple, man. Run the ball. Get the ball out of White's hands quickly. Play good defense. And I think the Jets are probably going to end up winning this game. Let's hopefully we get the help that we need.
Ira, are you going to Seattle?
No, I chose not to. I didn't want to travel on a holiday weekend. I traveled 3 of the last 4 weekends, and we have a quick turnaround. My wife and I headed down to Miami Thursday. So I didn't want to get home from the West Coast on Tuesday and then go to Miami Thursday.
Quickly, off the top of your head, what's like your record? What's the Jets' record in games you've attended? Do you know?
Oh, my God. I've attended over 400, 500.
No, this year, this season. This season.
Oh, this year, I didn't go to Denver. What are we, 7-8?
Yeah, 7-8.
There's 6-8 in games I've attended.
All right, so it's a good thing you're not going. Is that under 500? Appreciate the call, Ira.
All right, Ira, talk to you soon, my friend. 1-800-913-3776. Jesse's in Leonardo. Jesse, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, gentlemen, happy holidays, and thank you for taking my call. Lamar Jackson's going to get franchised by the Ravens, so I don't think we should, like, I'm getting too excited. Just, I would give up my Giants tickets to go watch Lamar play as a Jet.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What's happening there? You're a Giants fan?
I mean, that would be incredible. Wow. I mean, just to watch him play, I would give my tickets up to watch Lamar play as a Jet.
I hope Don LeBrock is listening to this
question
phone call.
About the one question about the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, don't they have a secret weapon in that locker room that just, like, Galladay? Can't somebody talk to him or, like, motivate him? Like, if you are the owner of the team and you have this guy in your locker room, there's got to be something you can do. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Jesse, thanks for the phone call. This Big Blue Report on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda. He is a secret weapon, Ty, even to himself.
Wait, the two head coaches couldn't fix him. I think that ship has sailed. I'm sorry. And look, we give all the credit and praise to Brian Daboll, and rightfully so. If he couldn't figure it out, that you probably couldn't be figured out.
But see, here's the thing. And if you followed him a little bit, you knew that there was only a certain way he could be used by the Giants, right? Because when he was in Detroit, all right, he was a guy, separation was a rumor with him. He was almost like a post-up guy, right? You know, get him in the red zone, you throw to him, high, you know, tall receiver, he goes up and get it, plays like that. Maybe on some outs, you know, sideline plays, sideline, you know, pass plays and things of that nature. Yes, he was effective. But between the 20s, I mean, Ty, he's not a guy that got separation, so he wasn't the guy to give you big plays. The idea for them was to get, he was going to be their red zone guy. But then he couldn't get on the field. He couldn't catch passes. I mean, this has been one of the biggest busts for the Giants on a team. And do you know how, if he was just 50%, yeah, how big an addition he would have been to this team this year?
Yeah, I mean, it would have done wonders for them because they might have 10 wins. This is a type of place I just feel wrong when, you know, people say, and I utter similar sentiments, that the Giants just don't have talent. They're talented. Like, these are NFL players, but just when you juxtapose their roster with others around the league, it's ranking lower, you know, at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. So when Darius Slayton is your number one receiver, there's not much of an expectation for your offense to be explosive. But if you had the Kenny Golladay that was in Detroit, I mean, this would be a game changer. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out. And I don't think he's anyone's secret weapon, because we have 2 years of evidence that it's just not going to happen for him.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now we join Dave in Atlanta. Dave, you're next on the Michael K. Show.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year's Eve. Listen, in my humble opinion, the thought that somebody has to get fired because of the failure of Zach Wilson is ridiculous. The whole idea behind hiring Joe Douglas was stabilizing this revolving door type of people getting fired and rehired. So I don't think that's going to happen. And 2 years ago, this roster was 2-14 and the worst roster in the league. Now we're, 2 years later, we're one capable quarterback away from the playoffs, and you don't fire the guy that made that happen. Now, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield, hey, sometimes these guys don't pan out. But the difference with the Jets is they improved over the last 2 years, even though they may have wasted a pick, unfortunately, on Zach Wilson. But that's to be determined, that yet to be seen. But it's not looking good.
No, it's not, Dave. Thanks for the phone call. Once again, Ira, which you're referring to, Ira didn't say Joe Douglas was going to be fired. He said the offensive coordinator was going to go. Because, Ty, normally there's a penalty for – someone normally has to pay the price if you can't get your folks working offensively. And here's some other things that would lead you to say that's not beyond the realm of possibility. Not that we're calling for it, but that you might – that's not – far-fetched. It's because of the imbalance with running. How many times, depending who the quarterback was, did this team have quarterbacks that threw over 50 times in the game this season? And the offensive coordinator, they kept saying the same thing. Boy, I should bang my head against the wall. I mean, I put that pressure on my quarterback. We need to run the ball more. We need to run the ball more. So the inconsistency with plays and play calling, yes, he could, in his defense, well, I've had different quarterbacks. I got different schemes for each quarterback, so on and so forth. So there is a way that he could, you know, he has a defense. But normally, when the pick has not panned out as badly as Zach Wilson has up to this point, normally there's somebody that has to pay that price.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this idea that you're going to compare what happened with Jameis Winston, who in his rookie season finished second in Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then Marcus Mariota, who in year two had 26 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. The idea you're going to compare those guys to what's happening with Zach Wilson is idiocy to me. Like, that's not the comparison to make. We're actually seeing, you know, Zach Wilson's name associated with Jamarcus Russell. Like, the commentary about Zach right now is, you know, is he one of the biggest busts in NFL history? We weren't saying that about Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. So that's different. You can't use that as the comparison.
Amir's in Bayonne. Amir, you're next on the Michael K. Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Big caller. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. I'm in the fantasy league. I was wondering, I got Gary Wilson, Juju Smith, and Lazard. Who you guys you think I should start for the Championship League. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you guys.
All right, Amir. Thanks for the phone call. Ty, I would lean towards Garrett Wilson.
Who were the names he said? Garrett Wilson, Lazard
and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ooh. Yeah, I would go. I mean, Lazard hasn't like really been the Packers' number one receiver of late. It's been Watson. Nope. I don't know what Watson's status is for this game, but yeah, I think I'd go Garrett Wilson.
I'd have to lean towards Wilson because I think he's going to see the football. Yeah. I think he's going to see it. I do. I'm not sure about Corey Davis either, what his availability is going to be. But listen, and see, this is the thing. I know Garrett Wilson is going to get some attention because everybody's going to focus on him, but he's. I tell you, he's really made some plays. He's a really good receiver, Ty.
He's amazing.
He's a really good receiver. He's a great man. He runs pretty good routes, too, for a rookie running.
I know this is going to sound bizarre, but I've been jokingly calling him Baby Devontae because he's got a little Devontae Adams in him. He's not Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is the best receiver in football, but I'm just saying, like, he kind of reminds me of him a little bit. Mm-hmm, and if he can come anything close to what Devontae Adams has accomplished, then boy, oh boy, I'd be happy a Jet fan.
Yeah, there's no question about that. James is in the Big Apple. James, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, James?
How are you?
Good.
First of all, you guys are doing a great job filling in. After Anita and Dave, you're my favorites on the channel, on the station.
Oh,
right?
Wow. There we go. Hey, Larry, we cracked the power rankings.
What'd you say, James?
Larry, your point earlier about what would be a better or more interesting journalistic outcome for that game. I haven't been tuned in the entire time. Did you guys mention that Pete Carroll used to be the coach of the Jets and was fired?
Yeah. No, we didn't mention that, but he was coach. He was defensive head coach. He's had a couple of spots here.
Yeah, that's true. So that's another element of the game.
Yeah.
My second point, then I'll hang up, is that actually 2 and 3. So the Jets obviously have never been an organization that's nurtured a quarterback well, except maybe Mark Sanchez. And the one constant that people don't talk about enough is Woody Johnson. And personally, I'm a Giant fan. From the outside, I think it's ownership 100% all these years. And I'm just going to hang up and let you guys talk. I think the Giants learned this year to get out of the way. Management learned how to get out of the way this year. They hired a successful team of a GM and a coach. I think Woody Johnson's probably still in the way. Anyway, Happy New Year.
All right, James, thanks for the phone call. Now, Woody wasn't around for a couple of years, Ty.
Yeah, he was away being an ambassador.
Yeah, so he did that. And I will say this. You mean the Giants had hands-on with Joe Judge? I don't think so. I think they took hands off and let him control things, and they saw that he was imploding, and so they had to make a move there.
Every time I hear Joe Judge's name, I just start laughing. Because the fact that he was so bad with the Giants and Bill Belichick looked at that and said, I think he'd be an excellent re-addition to our staff is just so funny to me. But yeah, I listen, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, it remains to be seen what this tenure is going to look like. So I'm not going to cast any aspersions on them right now. I think it looks pretty good if they make the playoffs. But if they miss it, then next year it'll be a different story.
There's no question. And listen, the owner is always in that spot. There's some people that like the owner. There's other people that don't like the owners. We'll say this. The owner didn't pick the quarterback, and the owner's not trying to get the quarterback up to snuff to be able to play. So that's coaching.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.